Just after 6:20, Simon Marks joins us once again from Washington, firmly ensconced back in the nation's political capital. Simon, good to have you on.
Yes, sort of ensconced. Not ensconced for long, because before I know where I am, I shall be heading to St. Louis for the second presidential debate, which is next Sunday, but ensconced here for now at least.
Well, we'll ask you about that in a moment. I have a feeling that may come up. Let me start with Mr. Trump over the weekend, certainly here, and particularly in the US. The tax story seems to have made major headlines, of course. Now, his allies confirming, Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, confirming it's simply good business sense to evade or avoid, I should say, paying any federal income tax. But how is this playing with the man in the street, Simon?
Well, I think that is a very good question, Tim, and we'll know the answer to that no later than Tuesday, November the 9th. Yeah. I mean, on the face of it, Donald Trump has had an absolutely devastating 96 hours, beginning with that overnight 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. Twitter storm that he engaged in which he was trying to trash the reputation of a former Miss Universe who had been activated by the Hillary Clinton campaign to accuse Donald Trump of misogyny, and then the New York Times publishing the tax documents that it received anonymously and that suggest that in 1995 Donald Trump posted losses of more than $900 million that could have set the stage for him to enjoy tax-free status for up to 18 years thereafter. Now, we don't know how much time he spent not paying tax, because of course Donald Trump hasn't released his tax returns, and even though every presidential candidate for the last 30 years has put their tax returns into the public domain, Donald Trump has not, and he's under intense pressure, was even before this New York Times leak, to do that. Now, there are two schools of thought here. There's only two choices. Either he's a genius, as Rudolph Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, his top aides insist. This just goes to show what a terrific businessman he has been, and it proves that he's exactly the kind of person the country needs to make America great again. Or it shows he's an idiot for not having released his tax returns and basically for allowing whoever leaked that document to the New York Times to set the agenda along with the New York Times. So the campaign, you know, really went into panic mode over the weekend because of the publication of those documents, and they are worried that average swing voters in battleground states like Ohio and Florida, who are paying taxes year in, year out, and don't have the kind of ability to leverage the rules the way Donald Trump did, are going to be very turned off by what the newspaper reported over the weekend and, frankly, by the campaign's response to it.
You're right. There are two very different schools of thought there. We know which side Tim is on. He's just been, oh, my goodness, I haven't heard the end of it today. He's definitely not in the smart camp.
Is he wearing a genius T-shirt?
No, he would never own one of those, Simon. I wouldn't let him. But, you know, it's interesting that he starts, that he's not unveiled anything about his tax, because he's not been ashamed to tax shame people in the past, or just to name a few people that he's outed, Obama and half of all Americans, which doesn't really leave anyone else, does it?
No, absolutely, Alex. I mean, the point that, you know, the Trump campaign makes, and this was in the New York Times article, albeit buried deep within the New York Times article, is that Donald Trump is not accused of breaking any laws, and he's not accused of doing anything wrong. Indeed, accountants interviewed by the New York Times said that if a businessman walked through the door with exactly the same financial data that Donald Trump evidently walked into his accountants with back in 1995, they would give exactly the same advice. Do you realize you've got an ability to offset a huge tax burden in the 15 to 20 years ahead? So one can turn to people in the Clinton campaign and supporters of Hillary Clinton who all say this just proves that Donald Trump doesn't want to pay his fair share, and say to them, well, hang on a second, what are you doing? What what are you proposing to do to tighten this kind of loophole that allows someone like Donald Trump not to pay their fair share? I mean, I can tell you when I pay my taxes, I don't have an option. You know, I mean, there are rules in place that govern the taxes that you pay. And Donald Trump is simply, he contends, applying those rules to his business in the most tax-efficient way possible, which is surely what business people all over the planet seek to do. So, you know, he stands by the comments that he's made in the past about other people not paying taxes and trying to hide income, and would say that there is no double standard in all of this. But, you know, this election, as we've said before, is happening in a sort of post-truth environment in which the facts don't matter, and the optics for Donald Trump of all of this are absolutely terrible and unnecessary, in that he could have put himself ahead of this story by releasing his tax returns and trying to control the message, rather than allowing the New York Times to publish this anonymously obtained document, which doesn't tell the whole story, but allows the Clinton campaign in very large measure to put their spin on it.
Simon, you mentioned truth there. I saw a tweet today from Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary biologist. He's not unfamiliar with human behavior. And here's the quote for you. What kind of an election is it when every time a candidate's caught in an obnoxious lie, they gain votes rather than losing them? It's a remarkable series of half-truths, untruths, semi-lies. I don't know where you start with terms of this election.
Absolutely, Tim, and that's why this is all so unpredictable. I mean, Donald Trump has so far, on so many occasions, proved the conventional wisdom wrong. You know, you look at the last 96 hours that he's gone through on the campaign trail, and you say, well, surely that ends it. I mean, surely that leads Hillary Clinton to enjoy a 10 to 12 point advantage in the polls. Well, we haven't seen where this is all heading yet. We'll get polling data in the next 2 or 3 days. But you're absolutely right. Every time something like this happens, and conventional wisdom says, well, that dooms him, that writes his campaign off, it doesn't. And that shows just how steadfast his core support is in parts of the country where people are looking for a populist. They view Hillary Clinton as part of the political furniture with only old ideas and not new ones. They're angry, and they don't really trust what they read in what they refer to as the mainstream media, because they buy Donald Trump's argument that the New York Times, for example, is an extension of Hillary Clinton's campaign team. So we are in a very, very uncertain period here. It's not that different to the shock that set in back in the UK after the Brexit vote, you know, the morning after. All the conventional political wisdom suggests Hillary Clinton should romp to victory in a month's time, and yet one can't be absolutely certain that that's what's going to take place.
Simon, just lastly, before we head to the news, we have to cover this. It's probably not as important as the elections, but it's received just as much coverage today in the news, which is unbelievable. This is Kim Kardashian. Now, she's been robbed at gunpoint overnight in Paris. Now, if any one of us was in this situation, then a lot of people would be feeling quite sorry for us. But this is not the same with Kim Kardashian. She has got no sympathy from anyone.
Well, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, don't you? I mean, she's such a controversial and colourful character, and so ubiquitous in the news here. I mean, this is a very serious crime. I mean, tied up, held at gunpoint by, I think, two men, is it? Masquerading as police officers in France, having gems stolen with at least one to the value of $4 million. I mean, there are undoubtedly Americans out there who are saying, cry me a river, I wish I had a gem worth $4 million. I probably wouldn't show it off on social media, encouraging people to launch the kind of attack that seems to have taken place in Paris. But, you know, supporters of Kim Kardashian, and there are some, I mean, including the TV host James Corden, who I see has been on Twitter, saying, look, everybody needs to remember that this is a wife, it's a mother, she's a friend, and she's been through a terrible ordeal. And it does indeed sound like it was a frightening and very scary ordeal. I am the last reporter on the planet particularly interested in covering Kim Kardashian and the various things that happened. happened to her, but there's no question that this is a newsworthy event. We saw Kanye West interrupting a show that he was playing last night very hastily, saying, I've got to cancel it. There's been a family emergency, and people in the crowd couldn't believe what they were hearing as he raced off the stage. It's definitely a very serious situation. We are told that she's now left Paris with the children and is presumably heading back stateside, shaken up after what must have been a very alarming thing to go through.
You can well imagine. Simon Marks in Washington. Do appreciate your thoughts, Simon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.